The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
I had a good friend that I used to work with back in Colorado, and he was a lot older than me. When I met him, I was 24, and I think he was 64 when we met. And both of our names were Peter, and I was actually his manager. And I remember that was like the weirdest thing ever. I was like, "How am I supposed to be this guy's manager? I'm 24 years old." And but I said to myself, I was like, "Well, I'm never going to ask him to do anything unless I have something worse to do." And that turned out to be a pretty good management style. And, but over the time, we became really good friends. And, you know, as I got to know him, he told me these different stories. And we were both from New York. And so he was talking about the sort of like mob movie, Donnie Brasco. And he was talking about that movie that there's a part where he loved the movie and he would watch the whole movie. But there's like a great betrayal in the movie right there. And he would be able to watch it all the way up to the point of the betrayal, and then he would have to like turn it off just because he couldn't stand to see the betrayal. But yet, another part of the story in his life is he had a blood brother, and they got in some sort of altercation, and he wrote him this letter. You know, nowadays it would probably be like an email or a scathing text message, right? But it was just like this letter, you know, the epic letter saying like everything he thought, of course, about his brother. And I was like, "Well, how long has it been since, you know, you talked to your brother?" "Ah, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years or something like that." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." You know, it sort of just blew my mind. And it was interesting because I'm just like, so you really hate this part where there's this betrayal here, right? But then there's this rift that you have between your brother. Don't you think that there's something weird about that? You know, that you don't want to sort of mend that relationship or forgive that relationship. But often, of course, like our pride gets in the way. I don't think there's anybody who hears the gospel story today and is thinking about the one who had been shown mercy but does not show mercy. You're like, "What a jerk." You're like, "This guy's terrible. How could you do that after somebody having shown mercy on you?" But yet people do that. In the seminary, I just heard from Justin from Rome. Many of you know one of our seminarians, Justin. And he was asking for prayers because his end of the year evaluation is coming up I think it actually may be this afternoon, and he said that, you know, just prayers for that, because he'll be ordained a deacon coming up September. So this is one of your more important evaluations that you get in the seminary. And one of the things that they read at those evaluation is called fraternal assessments or fraternal evaluations, which are extremely difficult, because that means your brothers, you're definitely your diocesan brothers, and then some of the other people that they have observed that you're around, and maybe other people that might not know you so well, all have to write this evaluation about you. Now, I've watched this happen in two different ways. I would say the cowardly way and then the courageous way. So sometimes the cowardly way is a guy would just write all kinds of things about you that he thought were terrible about you without ever talking to you or without ever approaching you. So you sit there in your evaluation and you hear your formation advisor read these words about you. And of course, your mind is just like, who said that? You get that kind of feeling inside. And if you're lucky, you get through it. Nobody ever says like a real mean word about you necessarily. But and then there's other guys I met who just truly had courageous hearts. And if there was something that they thought, but they weren't sure about, they would come to you, come to your room, knock on your door. And they would say, hey, I have one of your evaluations. And one of the things that I have observed was this thing, you know, that maybe they thought was, you know, they weren't sure about or something like that. Before I write this thing, I wanted to talk to you about that. And they said, like, I don't know. I think that sometimes you talk too much and you'll dominate a conversation and you'll talk over people or something like that. It would be something like that, right? And, you know, and the guy might say, like, that's fair. You know, like, I think you're right. You know, that is something that I do. I was like, man, but what an amazing testament to being able to keep a relationship intact by being forthright and being honest about the relationship from both sides. That's what it looks like. You notice that it says that the man was moved with compassion. You're moved with compassion from your heart, from the inside. And that's exactly what it says at the end of the gospel. Unless you forgive from your heart, kind of like the center of your being, often we pay attention to the glorious things of Jesus without paying attention to the consequence. It's like, oh, well, Jesus would forgive. You know, what does he say the consequence of not forgiving is? You know, he refers to it as punishment. So there's something at stake there for withholding forgiveness from our brethren, from our neighbor out there in the world. And what's the example of that? What we're leading to as we look at the passion of Christ and then his resurrection. What happens with the thieves, right? There's a good thief, and then there is a thief that is steeped in his sin. And one of them recognizes his sinfulness. And he brings it up, courageously brings it up to the Lord. And he says, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm wrong. Remember me. And so that's his confession in that moment. And it transformed his life. You know, today you will be with me in paradise. That's his reward in that moment. Even just from that brief confession, probably from a life of sinfulness. But the other one is obstinate. You know, just refusing to admit that he'd ever been wrong in the first place. And so we already have the examples. So the question is like, are we doing that in our life? Is there one of our siblings or one of our friends, or is there somebody out there in the world that we've just burned this bridge with and we refuse to forgive them? Now, we might not be able to practically reconcile for some reason because we don't get along or something like that, but we can still offer that person forgiveness. Remember, they have to receive it as well. But the important thing is that you give it to the other person. You don't have any control whether or not they receive it or not. But to withhold it from your own heart, that's a great, great sin. And so this time of year, we're called to reconcile or at least offer that forgiveness to other people so that they have the opportunity to take it, to take you up on it. Because we don't want to end our life unreconciled. We want to be reconciled with each other, with everybody, as much as we can. But we also want to give each other the benefit of the doubt and do the courageous thing and talk to somebody before we send them a scathing criticism. See if maybe we're misunderstood or we don't understand something. oh gosh, that could heal so many different things in the world if we approached each other before we criticized each other. God bless you all.